Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, legends, welcome back to the Rugby League Guru podcast. We are going to go through your NRL questions that have been sent in this week. You can already see in the Roo Crew, all the Supercoach questions are in there. I imagine that was like a 40-minute podcast or so. Cat's editing it now at the moment. Heap of Supercoach content there, but this is going to be an NRL one. We are going to split them up each week, so there will be two different podcasts and YouTube, or two different podcasts and videos for you guys to consume, because I know that not all of your Supercoach players, that was pointed out last week, so I think it is best to split it up and just more content for you guys. So we're going to go through all the questions sent in by the Roo Crew. If you're listening to this on the Guru podcast, you can obviously go to the link down in the description, hit there, the Roo Crew, $8 a month, $2 a week. Come and be part of the Roo Crew. Exclusive content, early content, first dib on merch. We have got a merch range coming up in about 6 or 7 weeks, that there will be very limited stock, and I've got a feeling it's going to move very, very quickly. So the Roo Crew, you guys will have first dibs. Whatever is left over after that will go out to the public, so we'll see how we go. Our last merch drop, not the CBA one, the last Guru one we did, all sold out in about an hour. Before that, it was all sold out in a few minutes. So starting to get an idea for our actual numbers that we need, but I think this next one will be a pretty big one. So brace yourself for that. Make sure you're in the Roo Crew. All right, let's go through the questions. The first one, Blake, thoughts on the Dragons? We're starting from the bottom, working our way up to the top. Blake, look, I honestly, bro, I don't know. I'm still, obviously they look great in week one, but in hindsight, that was against the Titans, who are going like a busted asshole and are getting worse. The last two games they've lost, they showed flashes in that Cowboys game. The first 20 minutes was unreal. And dare I say, if Faitala Mariner scores that try, maybe that game plays out differently. But I mean, any team that's able to concede, I think it was 44 points in 48 minutes. That's a serious concern, and there are a lot of issues there despite the positives that we've seen. So I'm not too sure on St. George just yet, mate, but I'm starting to get more and more worried. They're starting to get closer and closer to the team that I thought they were in the preseason. From Ruxy, how's life, mate? It's all going well. Pretty busy at the moment. There's a lot going on and a very busy period. It's actually been huge, though, this year. Fantastic to be in the CBA Centre of Excellence. Having Kat on board has been a huge game changer as well, as I'm sure you guys have seen her impact. In the Roo Crew here in particular, she's been fantastic. So that's made life a lot easier. A bit going on around from Guru that we're sort of trying to get through and whatnot. So it is a very busy period, but super excited and very grateful to be in the position I am. So all going good, mate. I hope you are well. Joey Eakin, if Moses and Cleary's injuries are worse off than first thought, who is our next halves pairing? I assume you mean for the New South Wales Blues, and I don't have the slightest clue. I don't think Cleary's injury is as bad as what it sounds. I reckon at worst he'll be back in 4 weeks. I reckon that'll be sweet. I'm not concerned about that. The Mitch Moses one, it is a little bit alarming. When you have a look around the rest of the league of who would be the next halves for the Blues, I mean, Brooksy's probably looking like the next best option, but I don't know if I'd want to throw Brooksy into the Origin cauldron. I'm not sure if that's the right play for Luke Brooks, and I'm not sure if it's the right play for New South Wales. After that, Cody Walker's in awful form, let's be honest here. You probably couldn't go near Cody Walker at the moment. Matty Burton, I don't love that. Luke Keary, don't love that either, if I'm being completely honest with you. We really are short on options. I'm just scrambling to think who else we could potentially go for. Dragons, you couldn't go with Flano, not an option there. Sharkies, I mean, Nicho Hynes could be the option at 5'8". He's not going too great at the moment, but he's not playing poorly at the same time. Maybe Nicho, but I don't love it, if I'm honest with you. If I'm picking him at 5'8", it's Jerome Luai. Could be the next guy to step up as well. There could be an option there. I'm not quite sure what direction they will go in if there's a heap of injuries. Hopefully Moses is fit and available, because I'm not quite sure. Probably sounds like a huge smoky, and it probably sounds a bit ridiculous at the moment because he got dropped. But one guy that I thought, and maybe I am a little bit biased, and you know, I think it would take a few injuries, but if there is a few injuries, I wouldn't be surprised to see Michael Maguire potentially have a look at Jackson Hastings. He's worked with him before. They've got a good combination. They trust each other. He could probably do much worse than Jacko, I reckon, to maybe play 7 and let Nathan Cleary play 6. But I don't think we'll probably get to that point. Adam Reynolds is the other option as well. You could potentially go Reynolds at 7, Nathan Cleary at 6. So we have got options. But yeah, it is getting a little bit scary, I'm not going to lie. Best centre in the game, Tonga or Val, and why? I think Val is probably the best centre in rugby league, but I think the two best centres are probably Turbo and Latrell when they're playing there, but probably Val at the moment, mate. And if you were the Sharks, who would your partner Hynes with if Trindle doesn't work? I have no idea, but I do think this halves combination will work. And I think people see me selling Hynes and being a little bit negative on Hynes and think that I hate him. It's not the case in any way, shape, or form. I said all preseason that I think this halves combination is going to take time to gel, and so it should. He is so different to Matty Moylan. It's going to take Hynes. It's going to take time. All that Hynes knows as a halfback is being ball dominant and having 80% of the touches. Most halves aren't like that in the history of rugby league, so it is going to take time to gel. I do still think Trindle is the best option. The other guy that I think could play it at a very high click is Cade Dykes. I think he is one to keep an eye on. I think he's a very, very talented kid with a huge future. But I do think the Trindle combo will work eventually. Thoughts on Jacob Kiraz to play fullback? Not for me. I like him at center or wing. JN, loving the Patreon group. Who's Roo's favorite commentator and favorite TV analyst? All time, you can't go past Rabs. There is no questioning that. Probably at the moment, Vossi is probably still right up there. I'll tell you what, Dan Ganade, I'm a huge fan of. He's grown on me rapidly over the last few years. Probably Dan Ganade's my favorite current TV analyst. I love listening to Cooper Cronk. Cooper Cronk and Maddie, those are the two guys for me. Absolutely love listening to those two. Elijah O'Brien, thoughts on what will happen to the ladder moving forward with long-term injuries to big names like Cleary, Haas, Moses? Yeah, I think Brisbane will struggle over the next few weeks. Parramatta, I think Dill Brown can step up and do okay. And I think Penrith, I think they've got a good enough system to get by without Nate. They will struggle. They probably won't win all their games, but I still think they win 60, 70% of their games, which will be enough for them. I don't think it impacts anyone too much. Brisbane is the big worry. But if they get Adam Reynolds back, that can change that straight away. So I don't think it'll have a wild impact on the ladder outside of the Broncos. Hi, Guru and Kat. Robson and Appy starting the season on fire. Who are you most impressed by? And who do you think grabs the 9 jersey? I think they will go for Robson and Appy. I would probably start Robson, bring Appy off the bench, and then you can use Robson as a hooker later or as a middle there as well. So that's what I would do. Yeah, I think that's the best option. By the way, Kat is still in here. She's just editing, so I'm just going through these questions. If she finishes what she's up to at the moment, she'll join us a little bit later. So stay tuned for that. We might have a guest appearance. It'll be like when Batman bursts through the door, when Van Damme kicks the door in and says, "I'm fucking here." She's giggling to herself over there.
I am here, but I'm just mysterious.
In the Batman-y shadows.
Yeah, in the shadows.
Love that.
Catwoman, actually.
Catwoman. That was a bad miss by me, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I'm surprised by that.
Yeah, that's bang average. Apologies there. Hi, Guru and Kat. Already read that question. Good gear. Do you really think Oates should play back row if needed? Second, do you think Saylor has a spot in the Broncos 17 come end of season? Saylor, no. And yeah, I definitely think Corey Oates could handle himself in the back row. If you have an injury, I assume this is off the back of what I said on Bloke yesterday. I think that if you have an injury or whatever, I think he could handle himself there. It wouldn't be my first choice second rower, don't get me wrong. But I'm hearing rumors that you could potentially see him pop up this week if Piakura's out. But we'll see how that plays out. Hey, Guru and Cat Litter, one of the great nicknames ever. Absolutely love it. Shout out to you, Zach Fitzroy. I like it more than what Cat does, is my impression.
Because I feel like to some degree I'm being related to shit.
Hey, he could have just gone with cat shit if he wanted to. This he went with true. Cat litter. I think it's creative.
Instead, it's the place the shit goes.
Yeah. Shout out to the guy on Twitter who's made a fake account bagging me out called the Poo-Roo, which is very creative.
The Poo-Roo in cat litter.
Great gag here. Love that. What does Trey Moody need to do to play first grade? He's killing it in cup. Seems like he'll leave the Raiders if he doesn't get a first grade spot soon. And, mate, honestly, I'm not sure if there's much more Trey Moody can do. I just think the Raiders are stacked. If I was the Canberra Raiders, which as you can see, I'm not, but if I was the Canberra Raiders, I would seriously consider offering Trey Moody as a trade deal. I look at the Canterbury Bulldogs. I think they could really deal with him. They've got a heap of outside backs that they could grab. You look at Bronson Zeri's not making the side at the moment. Connor Tracy only just got back in. Blake Wilson might drop out by the time Josh Adokar comes back in. Bulldogs got good depth. Those utilities as well. Jake Turpin, they could grab him as their nine, swap for Trey Moody for this year. The other team that I'd be looking at is the Gold Coast Titans. Just lost Tino. Here's a Trey Moody. How about you give us a Brian Kelly, a JoJo Fifita, one of these guys. I'd be seriously looking to use Trey Moody as a bit of trade bait if I was the Canberra Raiders. Do you have any predictions about potential changes in how the game will be played in the future, like how the game shifted to ball-playing locks and meter-eating wingers in recent times? Yeah, the ball-playing lock was a really obvious one for me coming in. If you've been following Guru since day one, I fucking carried on a tweet about this for a long time, that Tam Lolo at 13 was a stupid fucking idea, that you needed to have ball players in there. Thankfully, we've seen that move, which has been unreal. The next transition, I'm not too sure. I didn't quite see the wingers being big yards. Yardage guys coming. I think centers are coming more into the game as well. Having centers that are genuine strike centers is becoming more and more interesting. I think halves are going to be interesting over the next few years because we are starting to really run short of quality halves and how they transition and whatnot. You've seen a lot of guys transitioning from other positions into the halves, like Matty Burton and whatnot. That's sort of an area that I'm watching. But I'm not quite sure what's next, to be honest with you. It's getting harder and harder. The game has only got more and more complicated, and it's getting harder and harder to keep up with what all these teams are doing and the advancements coaches are making and whatnot. But always an interesting topic that we'll keep our eye open for. From Tolson, Titans in some serious curry. One of the great lines of all time, serious curry. Glad that it's catching on. Thoughts on moving 4-7, Brimson to 6. I know it's not fullback cover, but at least it gets Brimson close to the ball. Cats lost it over there. You want to share with us what's so funny?
Sorry, I'll put myself on camera for this one. So I'm editing some clips for socials, and we did a piece, and this is perfect for Roo Crew. I might even post the bloopers in Roo Crew because they're so funny. But you called me Quat.
Quat, yeah.
You called me Quat.
Fuck, let's do bloopers in the record.
Yeah, you called me Quat in this clip and I've just gone through it and come across it and so it triggered me again. But once you did that, I struggled to get my line out. Like it was very difficult. It was quite a challenge.
Fun times. Now, Tolson, before I was rudely interrupted there by Kat, unbelievable the attitude she comes in here with sometimes. I would be moving 4-7. I would have Brimo in the 6, if not at fullback. I know it doesn't help long term, but honestly, if the Titans struggle this year and keep going the way they're going, they're going to do some serious damage for the future. So, yeah, I'd seriously consider doing it. I can't believe that Brimo's not playing fullback now. It's wild. Blaine Griffin, what a name, Blaine, B-L-A-Y-N-E, cracking name. Wanted to know your personal thoughts on the Knights game on the weekend. As a Knights fan, I was happy to get the win, but I was feeling unhappy in some way. Seeing some good signs, but just a step behind where I thought we may have looked, not just scoreboard-wise, but performance-wise. Mate, I completely agree. Good to get away with that W, you'll take it. But yeah, not overly impressive. Adam Elliott sort of struggling at the moment. KP looking better week to week, but still nowhere near where he was next year. I'll tell you what, watching on the weekend, one thing I did notice, fuck, you miss Greg Marshall a lot. Anari Tuala did everything he possibly could, but he's just not the same as Marshall. You really miss him coming out of your own end. And you got to remember as well on the weekend, first game with Jack Cogger as your 7, that entire team's got used to Jackson Hastings over the last year or so. And whilst they are similar players, it is a different voice, it is different timing, et cetera, et cetera. You also had Kai Pierce-Paul playing his first 80-minute game on the left edge. No Marshy as well. So it is going to take time. But I agree, mate. I did expect a little bit more out of the Newcastle Knights. But at the same time, I think you've also just got to appreciate how resilient this Melbourne Storm side is, no matter who they send out there or whatever. It is very impressive. If the Knights are missing that many players, though, do they compete with a side like the Melbourne Storm? I don't think so, whereas the Melbourne Storm would, you know what I mean? So, yeah, not I'm not overly happy with where the Knights are sitting at the moment. I sort of had them as the side more likely to make the top 8 at the start of the season than the Warriors, and I was completely wrong. It's the polar fucking opposite. So, yeah, Blaine, I get where you're coming from. Eidos, I'm always that glass half full guy, Guru. Eidos, you're the most positive motherfucker I've ever met in my life. Your glass is just about overflowing week to week, and it's great to see in the rugby league content community. But gosh, he's talking about the Rabbitohs, but gosh, it's getting hard to be. How do you think they fix these issues? Because I honestly don't know. And mate, I don't know either. I could talk out of my ass and tell you a heap of shit, but honestly, I don't know what's going on behind closed doors there. What I do know is that there has never been a successful team in rugby league that doesn't have a forward pack that at least matches it with the opposition week to week. And right now, the South Sydney Rabbitohs, they are just not firing a shot through the middle. It's been a long time since that pack has been up on a side. I said it on Bloke the other day, mate, you can swap halfbacks, 5'8", fullbacks, new centres, new wingers. Give a fuck. If your forward pack isn't winning the middle, that team stands next to no hope. JD, he needs to get something out of that forward pack. They need to really stand and deliver, because it is a good forward pack on paper at the moment, though. Couldn't fight their way out of a brown paper bag, unfortunately. They are in serious trouble. Sammy, Doggies had a great win last weekend, but I feel like we could still have a better lineup without Taff at fullback if we want to beat the better teams, or is it almost impossible for Serrato to change a winning team? I actually agree with you, bro. I think Taff's had a good 2 weeks, but I don't think he's the answer at fullback, and I think that we'll wait until they get some tough opposition, and then I think, unfortunately, Taff will fall out of the side. I don't think he's the answer. I've said that from day one when he signed. I think your fullback should be Critter. If it's not going to be Critter, I think it should be Connor Tracy. If it's not Connor Tracy, I'm probably looking at Josea Papali'i in reserve grade. So I actually agree with you, bro, but I also agree with you that I don't think Serrato is going to change a winning team. Jace, how cooked are the Eels without Moses for 8 to 10 weeks? They did well without involving him much in rounds 1 and 2, but that Manly matchup really showed how much they needed him in the big games against top contenders. Have you seen anything that should give us Eels nupties some hope the season is not lost? No, I don't think the season is lost, man. I think you've been really good. You've got a lot of middles that can move the ball around. You've got Dill Brown. I mean, I know he's not a halfback, but fuck, he'd probably be better than a number of halfbacks in this competition. So I think you'll be okay. Gutho's going to have to take a little bit more control. I've said it for a long time. Assi would be in my Parramatta side. I'd be bringing him in at 5'8". I was speaking to my mate Big Les before. He's got an idea to move Gutho to 6 and play Blaze Talangi at 1. He's played one game of first grade. I think that's a big ask. Get where Les is coming from there. But I personally would bring Assi straight into the 5'8 role. The other option is you play Matto there and just let Dill Brown run the side. I don't like that as much, but I don't hate it. Good defensively at least, which is what you need in this competition to be successful. But I think Dill Brown can lead this side. So no, I don't think all hope is lost. I think Parramatta have got a forward pack that can compete with anyone in this competition, and they've got a great ball player and a great fullback, so they can compete. Sivo comes back this week. I think Bailey Simonson comes back in as well. So definitely not all lost for the Parramatta Eels. I've actually been pretty impressed with them to start the season. Is this one of the most devastating weeks for high-profile injuries you've seen? That's from Wham Bam Ezra Man. Fucking oath it is. This has been insane. This is what I keep saying. Like, I think because we grow up with this game and we get so used to it week to week, we just ignore sometimes the absolute brutality of it and what these guys put their bodies through. And this is why I keep saying, like, oh, let's put Origin, you know, let's play more games. Let's have a World Club Challenge at the end of the year. Let's add more internationals. Bro, these guys can't keep doing this to their bodies. We're going to have more and more of these injuries as we go forward. Shock me. We're 3 weeks into the season. We're missing some of the best players in our game through injury for long stretches too. And these are only the guys that are bad enough to sit out. I guarantee you, by this point, probably 40% of guys are already carrying injuries to start the season. So this is what I keep saying about we need to be aware of how long our season is and these sort of issues, because we hate when the game's like this. And it's why I always look at the NFL, and people don't like this take, and that's fine. But the reason why the NFL is so exciting if you're into it is that they have 18 games and every single game matters. If you lose 2 or 3 games, because there's only 18 of them, all of a sudden you find yourself in deep, deep curry. Whereas the NRL, you can lose 3 or 4. You've got 27 games. You're okay. You know, it doesn't really matter. Urgency is the most important thing in competitions. And I think the NRL at the moment is a little bit too long. As much as I'm going to hate it when we get to the end of the year and there's an extra month of no footy, I think for the quality of the competition, for injuries, for all this sort of stuff, I do think we need to shorten it a little bit. Titans early spoon favourites, yes, unfortunately. David Hederick, how long do you think Latu Fino forces his way into the Tigers side? He played 40 mins on the weekend, got a try and 91 run metres, 4 tackle breaks, a line break. Will he force Bud back to reserve grade and take the 14 spot? Jesus, fuck, that'd be grim for Bud Sullivan if so. Look, I wouldn't rule it out, but I think Latu is a little bit away. I don't think it'll happen anytime soon. I think he's at least a month of very good footy away from forcing that change. But Latu is a supremely talented player that has sort of been the forgotten man at the Tigers. But yeah, keep an eye on Latu. I really, really rate him. I would have liked to have seen him somewhere other than the Tigers, if I'm honest. But, I mean, Benji seems to be getting a lot out of Galvin, Nate and Caesar. So why not Latu? Interesting watch. And yes, I wouldn't rule out him coming into this side eventually. Tyson Jones, you've written me an essay, brother. Let's get stuck in. A bit of a long one here, Guru. No shit. What's your take on how much time is wasted in an NRL game? It's probably the main thing that annoys me while watching footy, while watching a game of footy. Example from the Roosters, the Bunnies had game on Friday night. Roosters had 27 minutes total possession and the Bunnies had 25. That's 52 out of 80 minutes of general play, meaning one third of the match there was no actual football being played. It's not an AFL and soccer fan. I'm not an AFL and soccer fan, but at least they play every second of the game. Thanks, mate. Yeah, Tyson, it's a very fair shout. Once again, though, I almost think that sometimes you need those opportunities for players just to get their breath and get themselves sorted. Sucks for us as viewers, but once again, you look at all the injuries and everything and just how brutal this sport is. It's almost like I think all the teams have just got a bit of a silent agreement that we kind of need that in our game. But yeah, it's a tough one. And as a viewer, it's not ideal. Jacob Rupine, just wondering your thoughts on them with the Warriors missing out on Braden Hamlin, Uele, and losing Adam Fanua-Blake. Who should they target or should they just develop their own? I am just worried about the output of our reserves putting in and how much of a huge blow AFB is going to be. Also, thoughts on Montoya. I continue to doubt he is offering enough for us on the wing. I think we could find someone with a lot more spark. I don't mind Montoya, mate. He does a lot of work out of your own end. I think he's a solid player. You wouldn't be paying him a stack either. I know that they really value him over there. I think he brings a little bit more to this squad than just what we see on a Saturday afternoon or whatever it might be. The AFB thing's a worry. Losing Hamlin Uele, sorry, not losing, just not getting him. Really tough one. I think they do need to find an explosive forward because that forward pack, like you got Mitchie Barnett, who's very good, Tor, who's getting older. They're just, I think without the explosiveness of AFB and the game-breaking ability of AFB, I do think it is going to be an issue for the Warriors. But man, some of these young kids they've got coming through, like Kalani going, Jacob Laban, there's a few guys there to keep an eye on. So maybe they can do it from within, but I would like to see them go out to the market and grab an explosive front row forward to replace AFB. Josh Dub Wallace, I'm getting really pissed with the inconsistency of the leg lift penalty. It's like some ref calls and others don't. What are your thoughts? Yeah, it is inconsistent, mate. Unfortunately, this is the reality of a lot of things in the NRL, isn't it? It is inconsistent. It is a bit of an over-the-top rule. If you're going to rule it once, though, you got to rule it every single time. And I think that you're finding teams are actually working out which referees are and aren't doing it and taking advantage of it, which I fucking hate, but that's good coaching, unfortunately. From Sammy D, do you reckon Katoni to roam around the field in attack would work for the Broncos, or would it be too many cooks spoil the broth situation? Never heard that one before. I like it. Just thinking of ways to get Katoni involved. Honestly, bro, I'm at the point with Katoni where I question if he wants to get more involved. He's one of the premier centers in our game. He's an absolute fucking freak, but he just never leaves his corridor. And I've been saying it for years. And, you know, Kempe keeps making the good point that maybe it's the coach telling him to do it. And maybe it is, but I just don't understand how Katoni's just happy to sit out there and just wait for the ball to come to him. I would love to see him roam. I think it'd be unreal. And you know who would hate to see Katoni roam? Every other team in this fucking competition would hate Katoni Staggs to be roaming, but it just doesn't seem to interest him, or it's not part of Kevin Walters' coaching. Herbie was allowed to roam. I'm not quite sure why Katoni isn't. I think it might be a Katoni thing. Hobbsy, do you see Will Price coming to the Knights, number six, as he continues to impress New South Wales Cup? As much as Gamble is solid, I'm not entirely salty as the X Factor for the Knights. I'll tell you what the thing is with Will Price. Got a lot of X Factor, very talented. You watch the highlights, you'll be blown away. Defensively, he's got a lot to work on, though. Yeah, if you go and watch that game, he let in two or three tries as well. I love Will Price. I think he's got huge upside. But defensively, I don't think he's ready for the NRL yet. Defensively, at the moment, he's probably not ready for reserve grade. So I think he's got a bit more work to do, Will Price, but you can't deny the raw talent. Jared Norris, thoughts on the Dally M? Oh, fuck me, the Dally M. It obviously favours dominant playmakers, but I think it also rewards scattered blowout performances more than consistency. I'd prefer every player gets ranked per match, like how Rugby League Week used to do, either out of 10 or descending from 34 points down to 1. Would you like to see it changed? I would, mate, but... And you know what? I agree with you on the Rugby League Week out of 10 for every single game. I don't have an issue with that. But they're still going to screw that up. Honestly, right now, all they have to do is give a 3-2-1 for each game, and that seems to be too puzzling for them to pull off. So giving a player a ranking out of 10 for every single game, I mean, fuck, when you're giving 3-2-1, you honestly need to focus on the 7 best players in the game, which will stand out pretty quickly. Giving out of 10, you have to watch every bench player, everything. I actually think it'll create more dramas because I just don't think we have the ability to be able to do it. That's... oh, my God. That's 34 players you have to rank every single game out of 10. I just think we'll get more inconsistencies and it'll be a bigger pain in the ass. And I actually think it'll just favour the key players even more because they're going to play 80 minutes. What do you give a guy coming off the bench? A 3 or 4? Like, you can play well and come off the bench. Like, your role off the bench could be a 20-minute stint. You could be the best player on the field for that 20 minutes. You've played your role perfectly, which should be a 10 out of 10, but you'll probably get a 4 or a 5. I just don't think that's the answer. I like your hustle, but I don't think it's the answer. Snickle, thoughts on which round Titans get their first win? Super unlucky for Tino. I feel for the guy. But is the injuries or other things really not clicking with the Titans? Yeah, I don't know when they get their first win, man, without having to look at their draw or try and get them up right now just to have a quick little squiz. But yeah, I'm fuck, mate, bro, it feels like that's a while away, just quietly, unfortunately. Look, for Fida and Jaden Campbell, hopefully return this week. Jaden Campbell played reserve grade last week, so you'd have to assume that he'll play first grade this week. I'm not sure when Fafita's back. You guys might have team list by this time, but yeah, it is becoming a little bit of a worry with the Gold Coast Titans, and I'm not quite sure when they get their first win. Just getting up their draw right now. Dolphins this week, don't think they win that. Cowboys, don't think they win that. Broncos, don't think they win that. Manly, don't think they win that. Warriors, don't think they win that. Storm, Cowboys, Knights at Magic Round. Oh, fuck, mate. This could get very ugly very quickly for the Titans. That is a tough draw. Probably the Dolphins this week is their best hope. But the Dolphins looked great last week. I don't know. It's tough. They will pull an upset in there somewhere and get a win, I reckon. But, Jesus, a tough draw leading into their round 13 bye. Very, very tough situation. Hopefully they prove me wrong. I'd love to see them prove me wrong. Flano, the first coach for the Red V, to not have excuses. Surely this is going to be a good thing for them. I hope so, mate, but it will be interesting to see when the Dragons start losing what happens then. Let's be honest here. Like, Flano, very outspoken after game one. Has done pretty poorly since, and in hindsight, game one was against the Titans, who look like they've never met each other before. So I don't know. I'm hoping Flano can turn this club around, but I do want to see a little bit more. Oliver M, surely Hastings gets a run over Gamble soon. How long do you think until Jacko is back in the starting team? Not too sure, mate. Jacko played reserve grade on the weekend, had 5 try assists, absolutely dominated the Bears there, the Melbourne Storm Feeder Club. I'm not sure when Jacko returns, mate, but I would have him in over Gamble. I actually think Jacko at 7 with Cogs at 6 would probably be the best halves combination they could produce, but we'll see. Hey, Guru, who's your early smoky for origin selection this year? And I'm taking TPJ from last year, type of unexpectedness. I don't know if I've got a TPJ level of unexpectedness for you, to be honest with you. That absolutely knocked me for 6 last year. Queensland, I know he's probably not wildly unexpected, but with a couple of injuries, Tom Gilbert, Tino, I do reckon my boy Jermaine Hopgood's a very good sniff to play this year. I'd like to see him there. For the New South Wales, mate, if he keeps going the way he is, I reckon Terrell May could be a sniff to come off the bench. He's a little smoky there. Cam McInnes, I've spoken about him for years. Finally, someone gave him some attention. Madge picked him in his squad at the start of the year. I'm not totally convinced on him, though. I think he's starting to get a little bit past at Cam McInnes to play at the origin level, but we'll see. Those are probably the guys I'm looking at the moment. Isaac Tungo, I just think we've got too many centers, though, realistically, with Turbo, Latrell, Critter, Brian To'o on one wing, obviously. Yeah, Zach Lomax is the other one that I think is worth keeping an eye on. Playing on the Sting, he could be a little sniff there. Scotty Drinkwater as well. I'd love to see him get in there, but I think Teddy will probably be the one. hello, Garufi and Catapult. Give us your all-time top 3 forward battles during your time watching the game. Paul Harrigan, Spud Carroll would be right up there. James Graham and Sam Burgess right up there for me. I'm thinking off the top of my head here, other clashes, forward battles that I've really enjoyed. Those are the first two that come to mind for me. Mate, I'm really starting to enjoy Payne Haas versus Fisher-Harris and Leota. Really, really starting to enjoy that. That's unreal. Those are probably the ones that come to mind for me straight away. Those are the guys I'm leaning towards at the moment. Panthers and Parramatta is another good one as well. When those forward packs meet each other, very different forward packs, but very exciting to watch. JWH versus fucking anyone is always good as well. So, yeah, those are the ones I'm probably looking at. But the ones that stand out to me, Paul Harrigan, Spud Carroll, and James Graham and Sam Burgess always had really good clashes that I always enjoyed. If you could build an all-time spine 1-6-9-7 of your favourite players, who would it be? My favourite players. So not the best, my favourites. If I could build my perfect spine, I would probably go fullback. Probably Darren Lockyer I'd fit in there. 5'8", I would have Freddie. 7, I would have Joey. 9, probably have to go with Cam Smith. Big fan of those, the big four there. Smokies for each position. I always love watching Carmichael Hunt play fullback. I would love to chuck him in there. 5'8", Terry Lamb was always a big favourite of mine. Brett Kenny. Right up there. Loved watching those two play and watching the old tapes of those two. Halfback, Nath would be right up there for me. I love watching Nath Cleary play footy. Alf, very good. Ricky Stewart, one of my smoky favourites of all time. Hooker, Cam Smith, the obvious choice. Always loved watching Isaac Luke play. He was a very talented player. Harry Grant, I really enjoy. Appy at the moment. He's flying. Love watching Appy play. Yeah, a couple of very good ones to pick there. Craig Wing, Danny Medeiros, also some of my favourites. And Steve Walters, Benny Elias, too, be right up there. Good question. If you could party with one NRL grand final winning side, which club and year would it be and who taps first? Wow. Did you hear that one, Catman?
Yeah,
dude?
I have to jump in. That's jump such in. A good
what,
question.
What comes to mind for you? Do you want me to go first? No,
I'm partying with my 2014 Bunnies.
Bunnies, yeah.
Without question. But I want to know who you pick because you don't really support a side.
Which yeah, I don't really support a side. I think that for the meaning of the event and for some of the players they had, that first 1997 premiership for the Newcastle Knights, I think that'd be very hard to top. You get Matty, Joey, and all those loose units up there like Robbie O and these sort of guys, I reckon that'd be a good time. And just I can't imagine anything better in rugby league.
Do you think as well the fact that social media wasn't around, it was so much looser?
Yeah.
Do you,
yeah. Oh, fucking yeah. Oath.
Like I don't think I don't even party now, but I do not think that I have it in me.
Oh, don't party. Oh. Fucking please. She loves a good time. She's out every weekend. She comes in with a list of people she saw on the weekend every Tuesday. What's doing?
A list of people she saw. That's so sus.
Oh, good God. Yeah, she's sitting at home with a hot cup of tea, Kathmandu. Please, absolutely please, miss me with that shit.
Oh, my God, I feel so exposed right now. But I'm not. All I'm saying is 1997, it takes a specific kind of person.
I'm not made of the right stuff for it.
I'm not made of 1997. Yeah,
no. When they said who'd be the first to tap out, I probably would have tapped out before the bus got back to Newcastle. I couldn't have handled that. But to be a fly on the wall right up there. Oh. Other teams that I think would be good fun, I think like those early Broncos sides, they would have had a red hot crack like Kevy, Alfie, those sort of guys, the big forward pack they had would have been good fun as well. The West Tigers in 05 would have been fun. Just a bunch of young guys that would have really got into their work.
My brain was going West Tigers 05.
They would have had a good time. They would have been good. I'll tell you one that sort of went underrated, but like when the Roosters won in 18-19, that was a really good group of blokes too that looked to have a really good – like I still remember, you know, Dylan Napa walking through Bondi Junction the next morning at midday still in his same jersey and shorts. He'd partied all night, which was great to see. I'll tell you what though, Kat, the one that I think I would have really enjoyed – and it was sort of a changing of the guard sort of moment for me from the sort of 90s and looser sort of guys to the more professional. That Manly group of the mid-2000s, Glenn Stewart, Brett Stewart, Jamie Lyon, Ben Kennedy's, these sort of guys, that I think they were the last sort of side that was a little bit unprofessional that would go and have a beer every Sunday and would still play their footy and whatnot before it really turned proper professional. That Manly group would be hard to beat. And I imagine the peninsula after a grand final victory just goes off.
Oh, I mean, imagine being up Northern Beaches that day.
Yeah.
Bad day to be a beer on the Northern Beaches.
Very good.
I feel like you would have said that.
Yeah, she's learning. She's learning quickly. I'll tell you though, like if you were like places that are ending, like Cronulla after that grand final.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Whoa.
Yeah. Northies. Yeah. It's lucky it's still standing.
I think being on any of the beaches, to be fair.
Would be good fun.
Would be a lot. But also, I think I can't wrap my head around the amount of partying that these guys can do. Like these Mad Mondays. The Mad Mondays are Mondays. Sorry. I've got the absolute giggles today, so I apologize in advance. It's a lot harder to speak today for some reason. But Mad Monday is crazy for any team, let alone a grand final winner.
Yeah,
so it's like, I can't wrap my head around how crazy those days would be.
I'll tell you what would be cool. Teams like, for example, when the Warriors win their first comp, going back to New Zealand, that would go off. That would be wild. When Parramatta finally end this drought, Western Sydney will just go – you've seen what Penrith has done to Western Sydney. If Parramatta end that drought, wow. And the other one, the Canberra Raiders.
Ooh.
That would be a party to end all parties down there in the nation's capital.
It's giving a Storm the Capital vibe.
A Storm the Capital. I love that. That's what they'd call it. That'd be unreal. Yeah. Fuck.
Good question.
I couldn't handle any of them. Cracking question. Absolutely love that. Let us know in the comments which – team would you most have wanted to party with? I'm sure there's some that we've missed. There's also like the Penrith Panthers 03 came from absolutely nowhere. Really loose bunch of blokes there led by the Craig Gower that would have had a good time. Some absolute crackers to go through there. Even like from what I've heard, your Cam Smiths of the world are some of the biggest rippers and tearers around that would really surprise people on those grand finals and stuff. All right, great question. That's an absolute cracker. David Hederick, what's the best NRL side you could put together and stay under the cap? David, if I had a month to answer this question, it wouldn't be enough time, brother. The next 8 seconds ain't going to be it.
Yeah, and I think some clubs, you know, it's taken their entire existence to understand and they're still not quite there.
And you spend 7 years planning for this to be in a sweet spot for 2 years, a lot of teams. So a little bit over my head there, sorry, brother. Guru, should there be an award for Bench Player of the Year? Yes, I think there should. And there used to be. I remember a couple of years ago when Roger Tuivasa-Sheck won the Dally M medal, I want to say 2018, Jas Tavanga won the Interchange Player of the Year. I think it definitely should be a thing. It's a hard thing to officiate because guys come in and out of first grade. But if I had to pick a guy that would be probably my Interchange Player, the best one at the moment, I think Dylan Walker would be hard to go past. I think he has a great influence. I think Jake Granville's very good for the North Queensland Cowboys. I think it would be a really good award to have that. Ryan Madison would have to be right up there. The role that he plays for Parramatta is huge. I'm just trying to think of other clubs and players that come off the bench that play a very important role. Ryan Madison, probably my favourite. You got one, Kat?
Josh Curran.
Oh, fuck, Josh Curran, yeah.
You're the guy that you are literally vouching for this entire season.
Yes, very good. Love your work there, Kat. Gotcha. Yeah, Josh Curran, Ryan Madison, probably my two favourites. I'd love to see it be a utility that comes on and has impact, but we're not quite. And where you'd get the grey area here is if Craig Bellamy decides, okay, I'm going to play Harry Grant off the bench from now on, and he plays half his games there, then all of a sudden he gets a bait, which would just make it a little bit difficult.
Yeah, also on that, you know how Cookie being benched was such a big spectacle last week and everybody was talking about it. He was literally on within 15 minutes, I think.
Yeah, I think that had more to do with the panic stations of being down 12-0. But I think regardless, he would have been on in the 20th minute.
But it's anyway, it's just very interesting.
It was a non-event.
An absolute non-event.
Huge non-event.
I shouldn't have even brought it up.
Why did you bring it up?
I don't know. I regret it.
Everything's South Sydney with you.
I'm going to go back to not existing.
It's a bit harsh. We love having Kat on the podcast. All right, guys, they are all your questions done and dusted from the Roo Crew. We're going to hit the Frog and Toad and love you and leave you. We're going to have Teamless Tuesday coming out this afternoon, live reaction to be on the podcast and on the YouTube. A heap of content coming your way tomorrow. And tonight, 8 p.m., we have got the catch up. And Kat, I reckon this is your best work so far.
Thank you. It was fun. It was a good time. There's some great content and I think – as we get deeper into the season, the stories are writing themselves now. Yeah. So You don't have to look very far to find some good stuff.
Unreal. Love that. Cheers to all of you in the Root Crew. If you're not in the Root Crew, jump down in the description, find the link there and come and join us in the Root Crew. Cheers, legends.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.